your information. Andy was listening to a... listening to a radio or a TV minister, maybe, I'm not sure. He wanted to let everybody know that God died on the cross. Anyway, in Hebrews 11th chapter, and I got a lot to say, but I'll carefully contain it. 11th chapter, the third verse, in the King James it says, now I don't know what it says in other translations. In the King James it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. It took me a little while before I begin to realize that there's a major key in that verse that we miss. We have a tendency to not read between the lines or even read the lines sometimes, but the thing is, it says, through faith we understand. If we understand that the worlds were framed, then through faith we understand whatever. And so what faith is spiritual understanding. And in our service last Sunday morning, I was awakened to something strange, really strange. And that is the fact that we are starting to understand. We're beginning to understand, which means that, and it's not coming by natural logic, it's not coming by, any natural reasoning. We're not understanding it naturally, because we didn't understand this before we did something else. We began to do the unthinkable. We began to concentrate on the Word of God. I tell you something, that is not a common practice in any church that I'm familiar with. And the reason is, here's the reason, is because people do not know what that is, as if we did. If the Word was with God and the Word was God, and we are to love Him with all of our hearts, and He is to be our number one objective in life, where does the Word fit? Is the Word part of that or not? And is this the Word? Is this the one that the Bible talks about when it says the Word was with God? The Word, is this this Word, or is it some other Word? Well, I tell you, that's a strange thing to ask, but as you listen carefully to the Word, remember what Jesus said, if you continue in my Word. So we know that at least the Gospels, and I'm just being foolish to say that, but we know at least the Gospels are the Word of God, because those are the words of Jesus. And then His disciples were echoing what He said and what God spoke to them as well. And so as a result of it, we know that this is God's Word. But I tell you what, after I listened to it for a while, it became super obvious that this is God's Word. This is God's Word. And so... it's through faith, and faith comes by hearing this Word, or the truth, the Word in truth. So which means then that through, as you listen to the word, something happens to you. If you continue constantly listening to the word, something strange happens. Faith begins to cause people to understand. And as we understand, something else happens. I mean, this is a strange thing because people say, well, I have faith, you know. Faith is why I go to church. Or faith is what I, lots of things. I have faith. But I tell you, we haven't really, I don't think we've understood what faith is. Through faith, we understand. We begin to understand God's perspectives, God's theories, God's thoughts, not theories. God doesn't have theories. We begin, because the Word of God, this Word is God's thoughts expressed. Jesus spoke what the Father told him to speak. These are God's thoughts. And so, we're beginning to get an understanding. I heard understanding last Sunday. Afterwards, I said, you know what? I am amazed at what is happening to us, and of course, and through us. I mean, we're building something by the Spirit in one another, as well as we're listening to the Scripture, as we're listening to the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you a major, major revelation. There's something that causes God to stand apart from everything else that exists. There's lots of things, but there's some major, major thing. And I realized what it was the other day. It's called foreknowledge. That separates God from everything else that exists. So much so that God says, if anyone prophesies and it doesn't come to pass, that's not for me. If it comes to pass, that's for me. Unless they're good guessers. It doesn't say that. I'm making it up, but you know what I'm saying? And so, by foreknowledge, God knows certain things. And okay, now I'm going to put that into practice, into something that we can recognize. The Apostle Paul, who was named Saul then, was on his way to Damascus to lock up, do whatever he had to those who believed in Jesus. And on the way, he's knocked off the horse, and he has, you know, and he's blinded by a light, and he's blind for several days. And anyway, so he is sent to a man named Ananias, who is afraid of him, of course, everybody else is too. And Ananias says he's a, you know, we've heard all about Saul and what he does. And this voice said, you know, Jesus spoke to him and said, Ananias, he is a chosen vessel. To preach to the Gentiles as well as the Jews. He's a chosen vessel. How could that be? He was an enemy. How could he be a chosen vessel? How could that voice know that? I just said it. Foreknowledge. That's who God is. So God took this man that we looked at and we say, I wouldn't trust him anywhere. But God knew who this man was. God knew who Moses was. God knew who his son was. He knew that he would do it. Now let's put this down into a little bit closer practice. One day, 17 or 18 years ago, in a desperate state, I'm praying, I'm agonizing in prayer, I'm in misery. in a voice book. And anyway, I have shared that testimony numerous times. And it said, you know, if you're serious, you want to find me, you got to look for me where I am. Okay, so a voice book. And I shared that, and I had a number of people say, okay, but if God wants other people to know the same thing, he'll speak to them in the same way. And I thought, well, yeah, probably. Or maybe he'll say something and others will, or maybe I'll say something and other people will listen to it or whatever, or will reason it or something. And I thought, okay, why did I hear that voice? And why are you still here? In spite of the obstacles and the difficulties and the crazy things that have happened, why are you still here? And you know what the answer is? You know why I heard a voice? For knowledge. I have fallen in love with the Word of God. I've been listening to it day and night for most of, you know, 16, 17 years. I don't know how long. Aren't you doing the same thing? That's why you're here. God's foreknowledge. See, Jesus said, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you. Many are called, but few are chosen. Does God know ahead of time who's going to make it, who isn't? That's called foreknowledge. And so I begin to realize that, you know, foreknowledge brought this young Chilean guy all the way, you know, from wherever, and I didn't even know, I've never been there, but, and they brought him all the way over here, and he starts listening to the scriptures like we are. Totally transformed his life, changed his boys, changed my daughter as a result of it. You know what that's called? I begin to understand. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows what was in the heart of this young fellow over in Chile. And now, I heard Dominic last Sunday, and I thought, you know what? He's a very intelligent young person who is being trained in the things of the school system, much of which is not, you know, is not Christian-oriented. And so, and I have had a concern, and I'm sure his daddy has too. It's like, you're intelligent, and you're taking in the intelligence of the world. What effect is it going to have? And I realize it's not gonna stop him. You know why? Because through faith, he's understanding. And whatever difficulties we face, through faith, I've been thinking about this the last few days especially. Remember what Jesus told Peter? He says, after you're converted, well, how did he know he was going to get converted? Strengthen your brethren. Jesus chose 12 disciples. Went up into the mountain and prayed, and then he chose 12 disciples. On what foundation? The foreknowledge of God. It's like I begin to see this thing, I thought. You know what that does? You know how Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you're my disciple. And then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth actually makes people free. It makes them free. Even if there's some argument as to whether it says make or sets, which I'm beginning to realize doesn't really make that much difference. Whether it sets you free or makes you free, you're still free. You know what I mean? And so the truth, as we have been hearing the scriptures, the faith element that comes out of the scriptures is starting to cause us to understand principles that are making us free. And you've heard me say this how many times? A basic one being the fact that I'm not a translation addict anymore. I'm not. It's just not. It's gone. I'm not a not floundering around trying to figure out the Godhead anymore. God didn't die on the cross. You know, that's gone because the scriptures that have created a faith nature are causing us to understand. Are you following what I'm saying? Our understanding is increasing.
God didn't die on the cross, but someone who was full of God did. And boy, that's kind of a subtle difference, isn't it? Seeing him, you've seen the Father. But no, God didn't die on the cross. You know, Keith was talking about prophecy. And maybe this doesn't follow exactly the thread that he was expressing, but bear with me. There is a kind of faith that we are called to accept what the prophet has to say. Mm-hmm. Keith posed the question, Why didn't everyone hear that? And that's a good question. Why didn't everyone have an experience identical to what Keith did? You know, I don't know. But it seems, you know, it stands to reason that we are called to have a kind of faith in the prophet. Otherwise, if that wasn't the arrangement, that's what was, you know, everyone would have the identical experience of, you know. Instead, we are to, now the prophet is subject to the prophet, you know. But there is a kind of faith that we are to be having in our brothers and sisters. And yet, you got to watch out for the false prophets. There's plenty of them. You better not have faith in them. So what do you do? Faith? Faith can really get you in some serious trouble if you have faith in the false prophets. And I'm afraid that goes on in the charismatic church. You know, you people are looking to demonstrate that they have, yes, I believe in prophecy. So they believe every Tom, Dick, and Harry that acts like a prophet, which is pretty obviously the wrong thing to do. There is something like, I don't know, what spiritual discernment or prophecy or whatever it is, that we are to exercise in making that, you know, call between who's what is a true prophet and what is a false prophecy. And we dare not, we really dare not decide that, well, there's false prophets out there. I'm not going to believe anybody that acts like a prophet. You know, that's not what we are called to do. We are to receive what the prophet has to say. Just don't receive everybody, receive everything that anybody says that acts like they're prophesying. So, I don't know. Exercise discernment, I guess.
Well, on that note, I would like to say the way you tell if it's a real prophet, if it comes true. And, they stone false prophets in the Old Testament. Keith didn't stand up here and act all in our charismatic understanding of, oh, thus saith the Lord. He just said, hey, this thing happened to me. And he told me, I want to find him, look for him where he is. And then he encouraged us to do the same thing. You know, we didn't all just accept that, if you remember. I didn't. I was like going, oh, yeah, here he goes again. Now we're off on some other thing. But he wouldn't let up. It was like, you need to go to God's word. You need to hear God's word. You need to hear God's word. So finally it was like, oh, can't hurt. I'll just do it. That was my attitude. And what happened? No, it didn't hurt. And then it started to change things, which was actually proof of he heard that from God. That is what we were supposed to do, because it was doing it as we heard God's word, as we took it in to the exclusion of everything else, changes started happening in us. We started understanding things. We started, developing this different and new and fresh relationship with God than we'd ever had. And, I'm just saying, that's the way to tell it. True prophet. You can say Keith was a prophet, or say God told him and he told us. And yeah, I didn't just take it hook, line, and sinker. It was like, I didn't. I mean, it was like, yeah, Bible. We know the Bible. We do the Bible. That's what we do. We do the Bible. How can we say that everybody doesn't do the Bible? But then I finally was like, okay, I'll just listen to it, it was like to shut him up in my mind, I'll just listen to it. And that's when the change started, actually. And so, I don't even know why I'm saying that. I'm just saying it because it's true, it's what happened. And just a little light on the prophets, that was a true thing God told him. That was a true thing God told our pastor, and it is proven to be true in the lives of those who have chosen to take it and embrace it.
On that note, before anybody else tries to get up, the Bible says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Isn't that what it says? What was it that they didn't receive? What he had to say. Well, let me tell you. Let's move that 2,000 years plus. Again, he is coming unto his own, and many of his own are receiving him not. Are you understanding me? Here he is. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here's the Word. It's coming unto God's people. What are they doing? They're trading it off for doctrines and philosophies, private interpretations, creeds, You know what I'm saying? They're trading this thing off. So here's the word. You know what? It was here all the time. And that's what I said. We've been carrying this around in this little box, this thing, this little treasure chest, and we've never bothered to look into it either. And so I was put on a, what's the word, vendetta? Would that be the right word for it, I suppose? Of pushing and pushing and pushing the hearing. You know what? Don't give me any credit for it. I could not do it. And the more I did, the more I realized the effect it was having on me. And some other people that aren't even a part of us, you know, or whatever. They are a part of us, but they're not in the service is what I meant. It's just like it's affecting their lives. And I had a little talk with Tim the other day. I saw Tim Jodwine, and he's telling me, he says, you know, he's had some college. I don't know what he's had, a couple of years, hasn't he? You know? And he's kind of intelligent. I mean, he's pretty good, you know. And he says he would have never dreamed the impact of just listening to the word would have. He would have never dreamed the impact it would have. You know what? Neither would I.
So I'm going to try and tie these two things together because I think that's what God wants done today. So, what's the difference between a servant and a prophet? A servant does what the Lord wants him to do. A prophet tells you what the Lord said to do. It's pretty close. What's the difference between knowing your Bible, listening to your Bible, or trying to understand your Bible? The difference is you.
Yeah.
You are putting the natural man in the way of the spiritual man. So what is faith? Faith is ignoring the natural and accepting what you can't see. So when you say, or someone says, by faith, I'm doing this, it means you can't put up a good defense to those who want to think with their brain. Because by definition, you can't. I choose to believe this is the inspired word of God. Why? Because I have faith. I choose to make that decision. And why is the Word of God impacting us today like it didn't in the past? Because I'm not trying to steer the understanding of the Word. I'm letting God do it. The big revelation wasn't that we should be in the Word, because I can tell you, you folks are in the Word. From someone who came from an environment where you didn't really pay attention to the Scriptures, to when I first walked in through the doors, you paid attention to the Scriptures. The only thing wrong with that was you figured out what God meant, and you started letting God tell you what He meant.
Yeah.
That gets back to he who has ears to hear. Not he who has a brain to figure it out.
Right.
The revelation is deciding to have faith to let God let you know what you need to know by being open. Keith made a comment. I don't know. Maybe I like to be conversational. Keith was saying this morning, What's God's greatest difference? He said, for knowledge. And that That's a really good one. I immediately leapt to God created everything. So I was thinking it was creation, not the future. Both are pretty special. And I don't know if one is, I'm just telling you where I went, and I could be totally wrong. You know, it's interesting. If you say in the natural to someone, I have been doing this for 17 or 18 years. Well, the answer is, you haven't figured it out in 18 years? Is it beyond you? And then you go, well, yes, it is. It's not beyond God. And he's decided I haven't figured it out yet. But, you know, we keep having these little glimmers, and they're really starting to all fall into place. You have to have a love for the truth. You have to have faith that if you have a love for the truth, God will get you where you want to be. You have to approach the Word as a little child, because you cannot put yourself in the way of what God wants to do. You have to repent, because if you don't repent, God is not going to meet you, because you're not going to be in a place to receive what God has for you. And we keep getting these little, just, and you know, but they're really starting to kind of lay down. I mean, the cornerstone has been built. And we just have to stand on it. And what does that require? my favorite term. It requires nothing more than patience. Nothing more than waiting on God to give me what he now feels I can have. He just doesn't understand my timetable. I wish he would get, you know, and for someone who has all knowledge, I'm stunned that he can't figure out that I've got a timetable that I want him to honor. I'm saying it with my tongue firmly planted on my cheek, but my point is, over these years, we have gotten this truth, and you stack this truth on this truth on this truth on this truth, and all of a sudden, faith starts to happen. I got up a few months ago and said, and I believe it still, you have to be able to, faith, by definition, is not what you know, but it's what, well, it's what you know in your heart, but it's not what you know with your mind. You just take it that this is so. I can't point to any document that says this is the inspired Word of God other than itself. I mean, the Bible tells us it is. The Word is the Word. You have to make a choice to believe that as a truth. And if you don't, then God can't unlock the rest of it, because you are putting yourself in the way of what God wants to do. And I, if it takes 18 years or 80 years, I'm good with it. That's been the, because, you know, I won't know until I need to know. And I have faith that God will let me know what I need to know. And there'll be opportunities here on this side that we'll need to know something. And God will meet that need. The real difference between my Bible of 1985 and 2005 is, in 1985 I was going to Bible studies and I was figuring out God. In 2005 I was letting God tell me how it is. And I accepted that. By faith.
I was just sitting here thinking about something that happened to me this week, and I hadn't even thought about it for a day or two. And so I went on a bike ride Thursday night with a group, and there's a guy that I've gotten to know. That I ride with and know his wife and stuff, and I know they're conservatives and they're Christians.
So we got down with the bike ride, and he probably texted his wife or something, and she said, "Hey, I got supper. Ask Ken if he wants to come over." And they had asked me one other time, and they were going to have pizza, and I wasn't in the mood for pizza, or go have pizza. So I didn't. So I said, "Well, yeah, I think I will." So I followed him back to his house, and so we had supper and stuff, and we got talking, and all of a sudden, I was sharing how I listened to the Word of God and how we listened to the Word of God, and I made the statement that intelligence will never get you into heaven, none of it, and just things like that, and just shared, you know, and I know she was kind of interchanging, you know, and, "Oh, really, how? And you mean you have it on?" And, you know, and Joel, he never hardly said anything, but he's a analytical person in computer science and everything. So I'm sure he was just absorbing it all. And then I just said thank you, and I went away, and I didn't even think about it much after that. But so now as I sat here, I thought, was that God? Sure. Because it just all fell in place, and it was just easy, you know. And I didn't make it sound like I knew anything, you know, because I stated that. But anyway, so that was one little testimony. I got a couple things here because I've written them down, and I'm hoping they kind of go with. But if they don't, they're like Keith's little jewels before he gives his message on Sunday night. But I was reading, first, I'm going to read a couple settings of Scripture here real quick. And it kind of begins with a statement that got made today. God didn't die on the cross. And the Son of God did. And, you know, that is a basis for everything that this Word is about.
Amen.
You know, it's establishing something. And I begin to see it again this week. I've been in Revelations quite a bit. And God is God. And then there's the Son of God. You know? But God is God. Okay, I'm talking and I'm not paying attention. Okay, in Matthew 15:31. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed and the maimed made whole, the lame walking and the blind seeing. Now this is because of Jesus doing miracles. And they glorified the God of Israel. Okay? So in many churches, they were glorifying Jesus. Luke 5:24. Okay, it starts in 24. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Okay, another statement. And there's another one in Luke 9, but I'll get to Galatians 1 now. And in Galatians 1, 24, but I'll read before it. And this is Paul. And I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, and this got mentioned about, you know, his transformation. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And this is Paul. And they glorified God in me. Paul, the apostle, the God son. No. I mean, so right there, see, all of a sudden, now I could have never saw any of this, but all of a sudden God tied all that together and showed that You know, that we need to know who gets glorified when and what. You know, doesn't mean that Christ doesn't get glorified, but you got to be careful how you're looking at it. You can't make his being glorified means he's God, you know. So then I went to Revelations and I was reading, and I got so excited about this. I almost came over and saw you Monday morning, Keith, because I thought, well, you always have trouble on Mondays. Well, I had a glorious Monday morning, so, but I didn't make it. So, but I had read Jude, which I really appreciate Jude. I mean, he don't know nothing back. And he said it like it is, you know. And then I got to Revelations, and I read, and I think I got a few verses away from the first verse. And then I came back to it again. Because something just, the Holy Spirit just put a little light. Now listen to this. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that's the way most of it look at it. And John, who's testified of what he heard, right? But in between there, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. Now you got to let that sink in. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the book of Revelations, that God gave him. That means something. Just like it was given to John then from Jesus. See, this is God's word. It's God's revelation that he gave to his son. Not because his son already knew it, because it was given to him. And then after I started reading, and then I was going to go through all these little things, but I won't because there's not a lot of time today. But, you know, the thing that distinguishes who God is through the book of Revelations is always this little reverse. And I've brought this before, this little verse setting. Who is, who was, and who is to come. That is never said in the setting of Christ. That's, now, okay, that's in verse 8. Now, and it's interesting. It says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Now, that ends there, and it says, even so, amen. And now here is a new thought. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, that's who is, who was, that's referred to God 3-4 times in Revelations. As the God who sits on the throne. Now it does say, Jesus, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Not the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Just down 3 more verses in 11. And then I can go through and show other ones. So then there are lots of times here when it says in chapter 4, verse 8, the four living creatures, each having 6 wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. See, there's where the reference gets made later, ties into the one made earlier. And then in verse 11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. That's all speaking of God, the Father. And then it says about Jesus over in chapter 5, verse 9, and they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tongue and every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." 12. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, strength, honor, and glory." But then in 13, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." See, there's a distinction. And the Lamb is referred to as sitting on a throne by my Father's throne. And it's also, the Lamb is referred to only as being in the midst of the throne, not on the throne. And there's different settings here where it goes through, and you know, it's amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And here, here's a good one. This is after the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of our Lord and of his Christ." See the difference? "And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces, worshipped God, saying, 'We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and to those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth.'" And one other, I'll just jump to one other one. In chapter 15, "And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb." Now see, this is Moses and the Lamb have a song saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty." So that's the Lamb acknowledging. "Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." And then I'll just jump real quick because it's right next to it in 16, verse 5. "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is, who was, and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is," and that's because his wrath is being poured out. Well, I'll stop there. But see, after you keep hearing it and hearing it, God starts putting things together, you know, that are truth. It's not that you, and they're making sense because they are truth. And I had another thought when we were sitting here and talking about prophets. Now, I have no way of knowing this or how to find out, but does anyone know if any prophets have spoken in Israel since Christ? That's kind of an interesting question, I thought, as it came. So, because really, if there's prophets, they would have to be speaking by Jesus that in the name, you know, by the name of God that he said. So if there are, then it's possible they could be false prophets, you know. But I have a feeling that there is none. I mean, it's kind of like God said everything he was going to say up until the time of Jesus to Israel. And then he said, "Now this is what I want you to hear. My servant," you know, the prophet, Jesus, "my son, and all the apostles that I have sent since then, and witnesses," you know. You know, because the Old Testament that's been recorded, and you know, see, I don't know. I could be ignorant on this. They may still be recording, and there may be prophets prophesying. I don't know. But I've never heard of it. And it'd be interesting to hear. And the reason that part of that thought came to me is I heard a Jewish person for just a little bit, because I turned on Meet the Press or something, and they had a woman pastor, and then what's his name? He's pretty well known black preacher, and not a good one. I mean, I feel fairly good one, you know. And then they had this Jewish guy, and they were just talking, does faith and politics mix? But I just, the thought came then later when I thought of him again, and I thought, you know, are they being, if none of that's being said to them, it's like they're, you know, they're just sitting there in kind of nothing, trying to believe on the works of the Old Testament, you know, and keep the festivals and do the things, and, you know, but where is their spiritual life? It's not there, you know? And I it's going to be exciting, I think, because there's going to be, God's going to send people to the nation of Israel, just like he's going to send them to every other nation. And they're going to speak it, this truth. And I don't know. To me, once truth has been spoken and everyone's given a chance to receive it, how much time has to be left? You know? I mean, seems to me like then the new Jerusalem might be coming, you know, out of heaven. New heavens, new earth, you know? So, something to get excited about.
If we go back a couple of weeks, a couple of weeks ago I was sharing something about, you know, how in bad shape the church is, and you know, I don't want to be part of it. Then the week after that, or last week, then I said something, you know, even, you know, like, even though the church is in bad shape, there is still, you know, here and there a couple of, you know, people where God will work on still, you know. So I wanted to add to that yet. So regarding, you know, not having a corrupt church or whatever. I know, not a good church or some. Anyways, in Acts, and I think I've read this a couple of times at least from here. In Acts 17, Paul says, Paul then stood up in the meetings of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious." Okay, and this wasn't a compliment. This was actually the opposite of a compliment. "For as I walked around and I looked carefully at your objects of worship," you know, so he was looking around, watching, you know, what's up with these people. "Look carefully at all your objects of worship. I even found an altar with an inscription to an unknown God. Now, what you worship is something unknown, and I'm going to present it to you." So, anyways, he's now criticizing after that, and then he says, "And to this, he says, God has winked at." He says, "You know what? God said it's okay. Until now," I says. "And now I want you guys to repent." Okay? So so you're not doing too good. You're not doing good. And God say, "Oh, it's okay. God will wink that." But very important, you gotta repent of all that foolishness. Okay? You have to repent. And then move on. So don't stay in that state of corrupted church. I kind of want to talk about the prophets, since we're talking about prophets. I'm going to read in John. What's a prophet, anyways? You know, Jesus says here, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And I hate to tell you this, but I don't think I will lay down my life for you. Maybe when the point comes, maybe I would. I don't think I would. The hired, now, this is not the true shepherd. You know, the hired. Okay? This is really weird for me to read because it's the and a different version that I'm used to listening. So it's almost like I'm reading something different. But the hireling, okay, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, and he's not talking about the devil himself, really. He's talking about people, okay? So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock. Now the wolf will be the devil. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a third hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Now, I'm going to read another scripture real quick. In Hebrews, you know, the hireling doesn't care for the sheep. Now, Jesus says, unless you hate your life, you're not worthy of the kingdom. You know, you're not going to enter into the kingdom. It's not about life on earth, you know. I'm going to read NIV here, Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for what that would be of no advantage to you. I'm going to read now out of the King James Version, Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch over your souls. And the NIV does not say that, and like 50% of them do say that, and the other 50% do not say that, and I don't know if it makes a big difference or not, but obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch over your souls, as they must give account that they may do it with joy, and so forth. So a prophet or a true speaker, if he's telling you how to have a successful life on earth, he is not a speaker of God. A true speaker of God, the end result of whatever you understand that comes out of his mouth is going to put your soul in heaven. It's going to care for your soul. If you hear someone that is telling you how to fill your pockets, or how to look better, or how to solve your family issues, he's nice, he cares, he wants a happy world. And there's nothing wrong with that, but the world is withering. It's going to pass. Your soul is forever. So a true prophet will care for your soul. So Jesus is a prophet, right? How often did Jesus spoke of the future? Almost never. He said, well, when the end comes, this and that, this and that. But being a prophet, that really not speak of the future. And why do we want to know so much of the future? What are we scared of? You know what I mean? Just a prophet. Even if a prophet speaks and it comes to pass, that doesn't mean he's a true prophet. You know, the Bible says he will send strong delusions to fool people. You know, and in Revelation it says, I'm speaking of the Antichrist, signs of heaven, miracles from heaven. This is the Antichrist now. Miracles from heaven. So if a prophet speaks and it comes to pass, good for the prophet. But if someone speaks and I can see that person cares for my soul, that's someone that I might consider listening to after I listen to my word most times. And we'll be friends, I suppose. I could say he'll be my friend, but he will not be somebody that will put my soul in their hands still. We can be good friends, but I will still not put my soul in whatever that prophet or person would say.
I got up here and forgot what it was. Did that got anything to do with age? There's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. It says that in these last days, that God has spoken to us through His Son. And then it says, and there's another sentence, and then the third sentence, the last sentence of that second verse says, by whom He made the worlds. Oh, I remember what the other thing was. By whom He made the worlds. And what that does is that is a confusion factor. And see, the thing is, God didn't die on the cross, and that the one that God brought forth is the one that did die on the cross, which the Bible defines as a man. And so the question is, could God have created a God? With God, all things are possible. Could God have created a God? Well, here's the answer. I don't know. But He didn't. It was not God's will to have a God die on the cross. It was His will to have a man who became the mediator, who became the one, the sacrifice. And a God couldn't end up being the sacrifice. It wouldn't work that way. And major issue, but one other thing off from this, and that's it has to do with what Corky was talking about. And in the book of Revelation, to each of the seven churches, there's a statement. You know how easy it is to miss what is being said. And it says that he that hath an ear, remember you were talking about having the ears, you know, he that has an ear. And here's what we miss. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying. That's a distinction. That's separation. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And the thing is, how many people actually hear what the Spirit is saying? You know why they don't? Because they don't have an ear. They're not, yeah. And the thing that is so marvelous is Jesus said, the words that I speak are spirit and life. They're spirit. The reason the words that Jesus spoke were spirit is because God, who is spirit, is the words that He spoke. He says, God said, I will put my words in His mouth. Jesus said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. So the words He spoke are spirit because God is spirit and because those are God's words. That's why this is called the Word of God. Is that called the words of Jesus? Although it could be. Because He said, if you continue in my words, but what we don't see is the words that He wants us to continue in are the ones that God gave Him to say. So it gets a little confusing. We got to know the whole picture or we don't get any of it or much of it, you know? And so, the one that died on the cross and rose supposedly on this date years ago was a man. And a man that said, if you obey, that's what he says in the book of Revelation, if you obey, he says, I will grant you, to him that overcomes is what the word is, I will grant with you to sit in my throne, with me in my throne, as I overcame. See, God wouldn't overcome. As I overcame and am sat down with the Father in his throne. And so, it's a distinction, and those are the things that we need to know. Any other exhortations, testimonies, or... let's hope that this becomes a regular... Gene says, of all the days, he says, and I missed it last week.
Yes, so I'm
yeah. Well, I don't know if this is going to be regular. This is, the past few weeks have just been prominent and like what's been discussed. But anyway, so I know that we've been talking about prophets and stuff and different translations and all this kinds of, mortal type stuff. But when my dad, he asks for my phone, whatever, you know, he does that sometimes, look for a Bible verse because he's thinking, and he read this verse, the Hebrews 13:17, and it said, explain, you know, the one translation had, these are the leaders who care for you, and they will watch over you, and they are accountable to God. And another one said, these are the leaders who care for your souls, and who give account to God. And it was a really weird thing, and I don't really know what I'm even trying to say here, but I didn't sense something different in the two things, you know? Like, they seemed the same to me. Because it just seems, you know, nothing different from them. The leaders who care for your souls, and also God will give them the right thing to say, you know? That was just a little tidbit. But what I was going to say is kind of unrelated. But I stayed up really, really late last night thinking about this. Sorry, I'm dead. But just about, you know, the whole Easter thing, and none of us have been discussing this, but unconditional love is something that is just so profound as an idea. I mean, none of us can ever experience that. There's a Bible verse somewhere that says, no greater love has a man than he who lays down his life for his friends, okay? And, you know, like I was just thinking about last night, like I spent the night with my friends and one of their dads said that, or his dad said that. And I was like, yeah, that's nice. But I was thinking about that. And like, lay down, like someone who lays down their life for their friend. That's amazing, right? How about a man who lays down his life for a bunch of people that are ridiculing him and spitting in his face and throwing salt in his wounds and stabbing him in the head with a crown of thorns, and however many people on earth at that time, thousands and millions of people who despised this guy, he laid down his life for them. I mean, I wouldn't give a cookie to someone who didn't like me. Right? I mean, like, I wouldn't lay down my life for them. So that's, I mean, it's clear that Jesus was a man anointed by God, because he, and that's kind of another point that I was thinking, and there's just a lot of stuff, and I don't even know if you can follow what I'm thinking or saying, because I don't know what it's coming out as, but it's clear that Jesus was a man anointed by God, right? So when all these prophets come, and, you know, like my dad said, I was read that verse last night too, which was really weird, and these miracles from heaven will come from the Antichrist. Why? But from heaven. From the Antichrist is going to do it. He's going to prophesy and do all this stuff. And miracles will come from heaven. Like, that's ridiculous. But it's still going to be different. I have faith that I'm not going to be deceived. I could be wrong. I could be very wrong that I'm going to follow the first Joe who says he's Jesus. But, you know, you never know. And just in that, you know, again, it was obvious that Jesus was a man anointed by God. And I feel, I hope, and I sense that with the same obviousness, it's going to be obvious that the Antichrist will not be a man anointed by God in that sense. He's going to be someone who, to people who truly know God and who listen and read daily, they're going to say, you know, no. And they might not even know why. They might not have a good reason. They might have no reason. They might just God won't need to give them a reason to think, oh, this man is not Christ. And that's just something that, you know, again, I can't really explain it very well because it's just in my head and then it comes out kind of like, but I don't know. I just have a really, really strong feeling that none of us here are going to be deceived when that, whatever you want to call him, being man comes around. You know, with the same, yeah. I don't know, there's a lot more I can say about other stuff, but it's kind of unrelated, so.
I forgot to say something when I got up, super short. You know, that voice that Keith heard, you know, says, if you're serious, you have to look for me where I am. And Keith heard that voice. And why didn't we hear it? Well, I heard it.
Yeah.
And I hear it every day.
Yeah.
And you hear it every day, too. Every time you open your Bible, and if every time you turn a page, means that you heard their voice. We've all heard their voice. Keith just putting it in a different way.
Brother Ken said that something that sparked something in me, and I wanted to share it because I think it fits. We talk about, or we've been talking about, you know, intelligence can't get you saved. And something that has always kind of stuck with me during my walk is, you know, all men are created equal, but not really. I mean, there's a statement out there, all men are created equal. But depending on how you're looking at that, that's not true. There are people who are taller or stronger or smarter or more compassionate or less compassionate. We're all different. And I'm not saying I know how, but God has set it up so that everyone's soul is equally valuable to Him. So the proof, a natural proof for when you're testifying or witnessing and you're saying something to someone about you can't Bible study your way, or you can't intelligent your way, or you can't do any of this, is because God has made us all the same in His eyes, and there's nothing of you that makes a way for salvation. It's the way He has made. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Otherwise, well, how is it then that so-and-so, and I don't have that answer. I just know that it has to be that way. Because spiritually, from God's perspective, we are all equal. And that is another example of where you have to be able to look at something with spiritual eyes, or hear with spiritual ears, to separate what you see from what you have to take in faith.
John the Baptist, in the third chapter of John, made a statement, and he said, he that God sends speaks the words of God. He that God sends, now we were talking about prophets, or somebody was a little while ago, and the strange thing is a prophet somebody that prophesies? Because it says in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says you all may prophesy. And my question is not a prophet somebody that speaks the words of God? And so if we get full of the Word of God, and God anoints us to use some whatever portion here, something in the Scriptures, and we prophesy and we speak the Word, are we not a prophet? For the prophets may speak two or three. And it's, you know what it says? And let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. What exactly are you doing? What's going on here? In a, I want to say, in a major sense, we are becoming and will become prophets. Begin the first verse of the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I got to look it up to quote it because I lost track of how it says it. But it says, follow after love, charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. God wants his people to prophesy. But we're getting the wrong context. It's like we're thinking that we're going to get this thing, this revelation is going to come from heaven, it's going to predict the future or something else. This is why it is so confusing. Because a lot of people that understand the context, or, you know, the way these words are used, when they see the word prophesy, they say all that means is preaching. If the preacher is preaching the Word of God, he may be prophesying. So it's touchy. We can get the wrong approach to the thing is, but we're going to end up prophesying. I would that you all prophesied. And then it says, for you all may prophesy. And I don't think it's just talking about just the prophets. I think it's talking about Gorky Sieber, Pablo Martacarina, Ken Betcher. You know what I'm saying? I think it's talking about us. And you know what the foundation for prophecy is? Right here. You take this into your system, and then you're going to find yourself in some peculiar things. I've been there, so have you. The next thing I know, I am speaking and I'm thinking, is that me talking? And when it does, it has an unbelievable effect. You know why? It's not you talking. But the more you have this in you and get this word in you, the more you're going to be speaking the voice of God, the Word of God. You're going to, because it's going to be in you. See, when we talk about Jesus, it says, and the Word was made flesh. This Word was made flesh. You know what happened to Jesus? After a while, he didn't have any other word except the Father's. So when it says, he says here, if you listen to my word, it's not his word, it's the Father's word. But it's not just the Father's word, it's his word. But it's not his word, it's the Father's word. But it's not just the Father's word, it's his word. How many times do I have to say that? I mean, because you know why? That's the only word he had. We couldn't say, well, he didn't have any word. You know? So Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will take of mine and reveal it to you. All things that the Father have are mine. Therefore I said, do you see the little tongue-twisting situation there? There I said, for I said, he will take of mine and reveal it to you. Meaning what? All things the Father has? I mean, everything, what the Father says is what I say. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians 14:9, you know what verse 10 says? Because it's the Father that's in me that's doing the works. I speak not these things on my own, but the Father that is inside in me, he does the work. It's like, you know, I didn't get that the first time I heard it. I didn't get it the second time I heard it. I maybe didn't get it the first 100 times I heard it. But one day, I got it. And that's why we need to be taking this in and taking it in and taking it in. And I am so thankful. And I said that before, but I'll say it. That last week, as Dominic was up here, and I was listening, and I thought, you know what? I know what it is that is affecting me. We are all beginning to understand in a realm that most people don't even know exists. And that's why that scripture in Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. But through faith we understand. That's all I need. Through faith I understand that this is God's Word. You know how I understand? By this word. Anyone else? Let's come up to the front. I am so thankful. And that's why I say, don't anybody give me any credit for harping on it. I couldn't help it. You know, and you know what you're doing? Same thing I am. We're all harpers of it.
Word
Traditionally, people celebrate Easter and Resurrection today, and we certainly do, but the thing about it, I kind of celebrate that 365 days a year. And so we're kind of a strange group, but you know, God has done some phenomenal things, and He is doing the same. And I'm so thankful. Come and share every time you're here. I love it. And I know what Gene and I missed it. But last week there was a really excellent. But this is a school educated young fellow with the Word of God. But I think that's it, but also.
prayer request for Susan. Prayer request for Susan. She moved the wrong way last night and put herself in a lot of pain. So her leg is swollen, and that's why she's not here today. She can't hardly move. So we didn't get enough time to get the painkillers going. So we lift her up. She's had a couple of trials in the last couple of days.
You know, and I think that we should pray for Turkey.
I was going to say.
Oh my! Yeah, because I come and go, and I see Quirky's dad over there, and then he walks the dog, and he's back in the house, and he's not working. I mean, you know, and you know, I pray for Susan, and I understand and I feel that for Susan, but Quirky's a man. And that's a lot to have to put up, I mean, not to put up, but to take care of your wife with an infirmity or a thing or whatever. And I don't know, but I just feel, I think you come up, but let's pray for Quirky for encouragement and blessing, and you do a lot for a lot of people that people don't see, and you just, I don't know, you have something to add.
I was going to say the same thing. God made us one flesh.
Right.
So half your flesh is ill right now. So we can pray for you. You know what I mean? So human, that's it.
I get a high, you know, to the point that sometimes I that God is doing what we try to do.
Any more prayer requests? Because I have to go home otherwise. If there's a prayer request, I'll pray, but otherwise I got things I gotta do. Nothing big.
Yeah.
Where you go to school, rest your life.
Oh, well, there you go. Thanks,
we understand. This is the reaction.